السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's allowed us to take this first step to come and listen to the Quran this Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. We do dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our tiny efforts, makes this journey smooth and easy, inshallah. Gives us barakah in our time, health, and energy, and accepts these efforts from us. Ameen. I welcome you all to Nur al-Quran 2017. All listeners, both here and online, dear students, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all with the best of dunya and akhirah, inshallah. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My Lord, expand for me my breast and make my work easy for me. Loosen the knot from my tongue so that they may understand my speech. رب زدنا علما. O my Lord, increase us in knowledge. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. O Allah, I ask you for the understanding of deen. اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. Oh Allah, indeed I ask you for beneficial knowledge, acceptable deeds and pure provision. Ameen. Short introduction to the Quran. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This is the divine message, the divine book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Revealed in 610 AD at Hijaz over a period of 23 years. How many years of it was revealed in Makkah? Who can tell me? How many years out of the 23 were in Makkah? Loud and clear, please. 13. Alhamdulillah. Just remember, if you answer loud and clear, it is sadaqah jariyah for you for the Day of Judgment and in these recordings, inshallah. So when asked a question, please be loud and clear. Otherwise, hold your peace. Alhamdulillah. Sisters, 13 years in Mecca and 10 years the surahs were revealed in Medina. In Mecca, in the Meccan surahs, it was the foundation of Islam. Mainly monotheism, tawheed, prophethood and life after death. Foundation of Islam basics were the smaller latter surahs. The surahs that we find towards the end of the Holy Quran. However, in Medina, it was a different story. 13 years of establishment of Islam and setting the basic foundations, now were the ground rules. Okay? So the longer surahs, giving us the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, we will be looking at the first longest surah, inshallah, after doing the opening. Okay? Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said it took him 7 years to study Surah Al-Baqarah. To truly understand the Quran, we need to study something else. Can anyone tell me what is that? The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Exactly. And is there any better way to study the Sunnah but by looking at his Seerah? So the plan, inshallah, this year will be that we look at the Quran through the light of the Seerah. We look at the Quran with this angle in mind. But obviously, you can imagine with planning to go through the whole of the Quran, we can't go into Seerah in depth, in detail. But we will look at glimpses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life in light of his biography of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a glance. So if you're all happy with that, we will make a start with the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to open our hearts, eyes and ears and absorb the Quran in a beautiful way. And we open our minds to be better believing people as we open the divine book and study. We say thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing and pray for guidance through the divine book. Ameen. I'd like you to all open up Surah Al-Fatiha, please, as you already have, and recite along with this reciter, please. Everybody, Rahman, Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening. I begin in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. All praise and thanks to Allah, the Lord of the Alameen, and all that exists. The most gracious, the most merciful, the only owner, the only ruling, the only master of the day of judgment. You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help in everything. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those who have favoured your grace, and not of those who have earned your anger or have gone astray. Ameen. Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening, like the index of any book, subhanAllah, in three parts. Firstly, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it converts into myself. And then thirdly, making clear what we want of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we do this, what's special about Surah Al-Fatiha? What's special about Surah Al-Fatiha? It's not only a surah, but it's also a... Excellent. So you're all familiar with that. Surah Al-Fatiha is like the opening, like a contents page, okay? We ask for something, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides a full Quran, another 113 surahs to give us what we're asking, subhanAllah. It has many names. Can some of you name some of the names Surah Al-Fatiha? Mother of Umul Quran, excellent. Ash-Shifa, good. Next. For homework, you can look up the names, okay? It has many names, 25 to 30 names, just for Surah Al-Fatiha, okay? Let's do the recitation with some more oomph this time. Let's do it all proper, loud and clear, starting with Sawud. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. I would like you all to join in with the translation. I ask for Allah's protection from shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah, who is most kind and most merciful. All praise and thanks are Allah, the Lord of the Alameen, the most gracious, the most merciful, the only owner of the day of recompense. You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help. Guide us to the straight path, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, and not the way of those who have earned your anger, and nor of those who went astray. Ameen. All praise and all thanks for the Lord of the world. So this thanks, alhamdulillah, is not just a lip service. It's from the bottom of our heart. Subhanallah. Do you feel it like this? Do you feel it like that when you recite it in your salah? Alhamdulillah, if you do. Congratulations for those who are nodding yes. And for those who are a bit hesitant, let's make it that special thing this Ramadan. Let's say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've allowed me to open this Quran like this. We've had it for years and years, but I've not opened it in this way. Surah Al-Fatiha is a beautiful opening to a beautiful book as a beautiful dua. Without it, we are completely lost. We repeat it again and again. What is repeated in life? Why do we repeat things? If it's a mother, why do you repeat something? To remember when it's sitahata, when it's important. So do you think Surah Al-Fatiha is important? So do you think it really deserves that Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Is it going to be uttered like that? No. No. Surah Al-Fatiha is crucial. It's a quiet conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ourselves. Yes? A one-to-one monologue. Subhanallah. Removing the majorest sin ever. What's the biggest sin ever that we can commit? Shirk. And straight away Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eradicating any shirk. That you alone, first with praising Him in the first three verses, and then we're saying, you alone I ask for help. Asking for guidance and being extremely thankful to our Rabb, our nourisher. This thankful all praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acknowledging what we have and what we don't have. Alhamdulillah kulli hal. Alhamdulillah for a believer is in every situation, whether one has or one doesn't. For non-believers, they are happy and alhamdulillah, oh yes, it's all good and happy, happy, rosy, rosy, when they have something. But for a believer, they're happy whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. This is the sign. Subhanallah. You are Rahman. You are, verse 3, the most gracious. And you are Rahim. Eem is like the flowing stream. It's constant. It's continuous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to elaborate on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. When we looked at Surah Al-Fatiha in depth, we looked at it for hours and hours. Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used any other attribute here, but He didn't. He used kind. Because kind is a word that brings a smile to any age, to the youngest of mankind, to the oldest of mankind. Is it not true? Tell them that somebody is kind to them, you'll be happy. Yes? Can I have that smile then? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind. He is Ar-Rahman, He is Ar-Rahman, He is Ar-Rahim upon us. And He has chosen you to be students of the Quran this Ramadan. So you're going to thank Him for that blessing. Can't hear you. Are you going to thank Him for this blessing? Are you going to take it for granted? No. You're not going to take it for granted. Because if you do, you'll enjoy lesson one, lesson two, lesson three. And then you'll switch off. And this happens. Come with so much enthusiasm, but you never get to the end. I wonder why. because you never acknowledged and never thanked Him. If you don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessing gets taken away. If you're appreciative, it's like you give something to a friend. If she uses it, you feel like giving her some more. Yes? If you see that she didn't exactly take true value of what you gave her, would you give her another one the same? You wouldn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our friend. And He's monitoring us all the time. If you truly enjoy it and absorb just one today, inshallah, He will give you more and more. Okay? And then He tells us that He is, in verse 4, what is He in Arabic? Tell me, what is it? And what does that make you realize? What does that make us realize? That He is the master of the great day. The final result is with Him. You don't have to justify yourself to anyone. You know He's watching, He's monitoring. He knows how many difficulties you've come through to come to this class today. How easy it was for you to come to class today. You don't have to tell anyone. He knows what you give in His way and what you don't when you hold back. He is the Malik. So your performance in Salah automatically, straight away, is perfected. I shouldn't say it's perfect, no. But it's perfected, it's improved. It's rectified. Because as soon as you realise you're saying this, Malik Yawmi Deen, you're not going to stand there lethargic, half-hearted, thinking about your cooking, thinking about your lesson, thinking about something else. Are you? Malik Yawmi Deen. You're standing in front of the greatest King of Kings. This soon makes us upright, focused, decreases sins, and increases our taqwa. Opening up the opening surah like this makes us realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master of the day of judgment, and to Him I will be returning, and to Him I will be, let's see who can give me the word. To Him I'm returning, yes, and to Him I will be. Answerable. That was the right answer. Excellent. We normally have sweets, and we'll give these sweets, inshallah, for the correct answers. Good. We will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our goal this Ramadan will be to focus on these points. And inshallah, making this our best Ramadan. This Ramadan will be focusing upon this life, but more so on the Akhirah. As a result of this realization, it will bring us in line, and as a result, we won't feel fatigued. We won't feel fatigued or tired. Irrespective of people's comments, I will be self-motivated, inshallah. So maybe we can write this in capitals in our notes. This Ramadan, I will be self-motivated. As we acknowledge this fact that He is the master of the day of judgment, and I will be questioned that how many Ramadans did you let go by without studying or learning what was in this treasure book? We immediately then say, you feel a bit, what's the word, you feel a bit vulnerable, don't you, when you hear this? Thinking of Ramadan, how am I going to do it? I like to sleep. I get tired. Especially for the people who've not been before. Hands up if there are people who've never studied the Quran like this before, from A to Z. Okay? Alhamdulillah. Sisters, you'll feel, you'll have these apprehensions, and they are very, very normal. Okay? They are normal. We all went through them on our first trip. And they are from who? Shaitan. He's not locked away yet. So, yes, it's normal. So we immediately turn to verse 5. You alone we worship. And you alone we ask for help for each and everything. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Then we want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have this feeling of depletion. So we turn to Him in full submission and surrender. And when one has this wonderful relationship in salah, in worship, when one has this wonderful relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one automatically turns to Him for help and no one else. You know, just like your best friend, or your mother, or your family. When you've got a good rapport with a relative, you turn to them when you need a lift to the appointment, don't you? You don't go to a neighbour then, do you? When you need a dish making, you turn to your best friend. Is that true? So when you have this rapport and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you turn to Him for help. But when you don't, then you're scared. Then you go to other places. Do you follow the difference? So what's this establishing in us straight away? Tawheed. I know only you can help me. Then you realize you don't look around or you don't look down. Tawheed is established. And we say, guide us along the straight path. One begs for guidance after realization how important this guidance is. And the Quran is the best guidance we could ever have. Quran is hadayah, rahmah. We used it as rahmah before when we just read the Quran. Because yes, it's rahmah, it's mercy. Every letter the Prophet ﷺ said gives you 10 rewards. And one letter is alif, second letter is lam, and the third letter is meem. Like that, every single letter. So yes, we used it for mercy before, but now we're going to use it as guidance. And it's shifa and good news for the believers. So we return to Surah Al-Fatiha for connection. We've had it. It was present, but the connection is down. Has been down for years, maybe. Just like a low battery on a sat-nav. Can you find your destination if your sat-nav is not working? You have a sat-nav, it's there. The Quran is here. But the battery is low. So let's reconnect with our Creator. Let's bring spirituality back into our soul. Not just, do I lift my finger in tashahud? Do I move my finger? Where do I put my hands in salah? Let's connect. Let's bring the ruh back into life. Let's bring the spirituality back into our lives, into our salah. How? How are we going to do this? Through the Quran, inshallah. Let's learn to live our lives in line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws. And then we explain clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse 7, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not the way of those who have earned your anger or have gone astray. Not like those. So we're making it clear, just like when you wanted something as a child and you're going to school and you're telling your mom, Mom, I need those new shoes. You know the black ones we saw in the window, I want them with the golden buckle on them, or the black buckle. You make sure, and I'm a size, whatever size you were at the time. You don't mess around, do you? You want it to be exactly precise. Here we're saying, Ya Rabbi, please, please. Now that you've realized who He is, now you've realized that without it you are lost. Ya Rabbi, please, please, I ask for your favor. But how? Like those you said gave you favor. Not those who earned your anger, like who? Namruz, or Pharaoh, or Karun, or Haman, no. Or those who went astray. We want the favors not to be distracted by any of these favors, but we want them to guide us to our final destination, inshallah. As our angle this year is in the light of Seerah, I will share the first hadith with you for this Ramadan program, inshallah. Hadith from Sahih Bukhari, volume 1, and it's hadith number 723. Narrated Ubadah bin As-Samit, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Whoever does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in his prayer is invalid. Sahih al-Bukhari, Volume 1, Hadith 723. The second hadith is from the same book, Sahih Bukhari, Volume 6, Hadith number 2. Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the Imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, not the way of those who earned your anger, nor the way of those who went astray, then you must say Ameen. For if one's utterance of Ameen coincides with that of the angels, then his past sins will be forgiven. Ameen. So sisters, we all want our past sins to be forgiven, don't we? Don't we?
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. So, what a beautiful way. At this point, we end our first surah. Congratulations as we come to the end of the 7 oft-repeated verses. The summary of the entire Quran. And then the entire Quran lies in front of us to be opened and studied, inshallah, this Ramadan, answering our du'as that we have just made in this first surah. Any questions on what we've done so far? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we start the longest surah of the Quran. The second surah, as we see, contains 286 verses, contains the ayah of the throne in verse 255, verse 177, verse 177, the ayah of Bir, ayah of piety, and the longest ayah is verse 282. Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed in Medina, right in the initial period, in the first 2 years, just before the Battle of Badr. And as we will see, the Medina surahs will take us up to Surah Tawbah, which is Surah 9. All these, from Surah Al-Baqarah to Surah 9, are those that were revealed in Medina. In line with the biography of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Anas ibn Malik al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him, was a boy at that time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina. And this is what he said. Anas ibn Malik al-Ansari, a boy at that time, said, I saw the Messenger of Allah the day he sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina. I've not seen a better or more radiant day than when he came to us in Medina al-Munawwarah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent 4 days in Quba, and that was where the first mosque was established. Subhanallah. We will look at that in a bit more light shortly. Just to mention a few virtues about Surah Al-Baqarah, that there's 1,000 laws that have been set. Now that the groundwork has been done and the foundation has been laid of Islam in Makkah, in Medina, there were commands. 4 groups are mentioned in this surah, namely the muttaqeen, the pious, the disbelievers, the hypocrites, and those who rebelled, the fasiqeen. Surah Al-Baqarah, in the light of Sira, will allow us to look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as this surah was revealed when already 2/3 of the Quran had been revealed. It was post-emigration, post-hijrah, from Makkah on the 27th Safar in the 13th year of prophethood. And at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was how old? I've given you big clues there. For a sweet, how old was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Thank you, Sister Razia, got it correctly, and Sister Farah said it. Good. Both get sweets, mashallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 53. 3 nights were spent in the cave of Thor with his companion Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him. And then they left for Quba on the 8th of Rabiul Awal. And just out at Quba, just outside on the outskirts of Medina, the first masjid was established. Hands up if you've seen the masjid at Quba. Yes. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then left on the 12th Rabiul Awal, which is a Friday morning, for Jummah with Banu Salim. And then the next event, which we're now on to number 7, was the laying of the foundation of the Prophet's mosque in Medina. These are the events that took place in this time period, okay? In light of Sirah. First, Salah was increased from 2 rak'ah to 4 or 3 as we see today. Brotherhood bonds were made at the home of Hazrat Anas, radiallahu anhu, that we just mentioned, between the natives of Medina. What were the natives of Medina called? The Ansar, good. And the emigrants from Makkah, who were they? The Muhajir, good. Ayy, the Ansar and the Muhajir. Medina was established as an Islamic state just 6 months after Hijrah. A Muslim army for defense was established for the first time. Lady Aisha became the bride. Lady Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, came as a bride to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two non-Muslim chiefs accepted Islam, which was big. In this first Hijri, Abdullah bin Salam, who was a Jew, and a Christian monk, Abu Qais. The first expedition took place, some treaties were signed, and there were many more events that took place in this time period. Salman from Persia, accepted Islam. Zakah was made compulsory and Qibla was changed, as we will see in the second juz, inshallah. And that was in 2 AH. Fasting is made compulsory, as we will see in the second juz too, in this same surah. And again, that is 2 AH. What's AH? After Hijri. Good. First time of Eid al-Fitr Salah in Jama'ah, many events unfolded gradually as circumstances arose. So we will learn from the Seerah how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the basics first. Throughout the Quran we will see how the basics need to be there before you can go on to the extras. We today start telling everybody about the 20-hour fast. But there's no connection with them and Rabb. Why do we do a 20-hour fast? Because we are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand? We talk about nail polish, alcohol, anything negative we like to mention first. This was not the hikmah, the wisdom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us. Some virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah in accordance with Hadith. Abu Abdullah ibn Buraida reported, I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I heard him say, learn Surah Al-Baqarah because there is a blessing in it. There is sorrow in ignoring it and the sorcerer, the witches, cannot memorize it. Sahih Muslim. Another hadith from Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not turn your houses into graves. Shaitan is barred from any house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. So as we start this surah, how do you feel? Excited? Inshallah. Yes? Good. Just a slight background that this surah deals mainly with, who's going to tell me? The Jews, exactly. It's dealing with the Jews of the past, telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what they did, how they behaved, named after the cow because of what they did at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. The surah tells the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to deal with the Jews of Medina. And who were the Jews? The Jews were the Muslims of the past. Excellent. Tawheed, monotheism, prophethood, life after death, and divine revelations were all part of Judaism. So that was not a problem for them. What was the problem? For a sweet. Quickly. What was the problem? Exactly. The problem was that they found it hard to accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? That he had not come from their ancestors. Let's look. Listen to the first few verses and then look at the translation of this beautiful surah.
الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
I ask for Allah's protection from Shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Alif Lam. These letters are one of the miracles of the Qur'an and none but Allah knows their meanings. This is the book, the Qur'an, of which there is no doubt a guidance to those who are the muttaqun, who are the pious, who fear Allah much, abstain from all kinds of sins and evil deeds, who believe in the ghaib. What is the ghaib? The unseen. Good. And perform a salah and spend out of what we have provided for them. Give zakah. Spend on themselves, their parents and their children, their wives. And also give charity to the poor. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop us from spending? No. Not at all. And who believe in the Quran and the Sunnah, which has been sent down to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in that which was sent down before you, the Torah and the Injil. And they believe with certainty in the hereafter. They are on true guidance from their Lord, and they are the successful. Sisters, again, a lovely word. Successful. Everybody wishes to be successful, whatever they're doing. If you're a housewife, you want to be successful in your home ground. If you're a business person, career-minded, student, wherever you are, it's a bit like kind. I often relate these two words together. Two words, we all want kindness and success, don't we? Nobody in the right mind will say they don't want to be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you want to be successful, they are on true guidance from their Lord, and they are the successful. Subhanallah, this is success. And what a better way of asking for guidance. It's not by looking at the manual on how to grow roses, is it? You're not going to get guidance by asking the gardener. How are you going to get guidance by opening the Quran? We've been so busy all our lives. We have work, we have careers, we have BSCs, we have PhDs. We're too busy with the kids, but nobody's going to help us in our grave or on the day of judgment. Sisters, truly, those who are successful are the ones who ask for true guidance. They are on true guidance. We all read this again and again. We've probably read this many, many times in our lives. But we've never reflected. And the only way of having guidance, hands up if you feel there's a difference in being guided with the Quran as opposed to what your lives were without the Quran. Those who are studying the Quran now, hands up if you have a difference in your lives. Hands right up so everybody can see, for the new students especially. A life without the Quran was a life where it was empty. Verily, those who disbelieve, it is the same to them, whether you warn them or do not warn them. They will not believe. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you straight away that those who are not on this path, who are not going to believe with the Quran, whether you tell them about classes, whether you tell them to do hijab, abaya, cover up, do things, do salah, they will not listen to you. Allah has, and why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in verse 7, Allah has set a seal on their hearts and on their hearing. They are closed from accepting Allah's guidance. I.e. they listen, but they don't listen. It's going in, but it's not going in. They see, but they don't see. And their hearts are as if they're absorbing, but they're not. Allah set a seal on their hearts and on their hearing, and on their eyes there is a covering. Theirs will be a great torment. And of mankind there are some who say, we believe in Allah on the last day, while in fact they believe not. They think to deceive Allah, and those who believe, while they only deceive themselves and perceive it not. So they thought they were cheating and deceiving Allah, but who are they actually cheating? Themselves. In their hearts is a disease of doubt and hypocrisy. 1 minute they're a Muslim, they light that fine on a Friday, fine in Ramadan, but then they slip and they move away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased their disease, a painful torment is theirs because they used to tell lies. And when it is said to them, make not mischief on the earth, they say, we're only peacemakers. Verily, they are the ones who make mischief, but they perceive not. Again, have we heard this in society today? We're only telling you, we're not causing any trouble. Just telling you that you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. This is group 2 described. Verily, they are the ones who make mischief, but they perceive not. And when it is said to them, who's this then? The hypocrites. The hypocrites. What group's this? The third group. Neither here nor there. You know, a bit of this and a bit of that. But if anybody gave you a half-cooked pizza, would you eat it? A bit of this and a bit of that? Hypocrites. They like to hover on the outskirts, on the edge. A bit in and a bit out, because they're too scared to listen, because their hearts, their ears have got what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us just now in the verse, a seal, they've got a seal on them. So they like to hear things that they can accept and do, but anything comes hard, they feel, that's too hard, I'm not going to go in tomorrow. They're talking about interest, say, find that too hard, so we won't listen to that one. Sisters, they are the hypocrites. When it is said to them, believe as the people, followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Ansar and the Muhajir that was mentioned, have believed, subhanAllah. They say, shall we believe? as the fools have believed. What's the word for fools in Arabic? Excellent. Shall we believe as the fools have believed? Verily they are the fools, but they know not. And when they meet those who believe, they say, we believe. But when they are alone with their shaitan, they say, truly, we are with you. Indeed, we were booked, mocking. Subhanallah. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say with this? Allah mocks at them and gives them increase in their wrongdoing to wander blindly. So when we think we are getting away with something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining it quite clearly in verse 15. You know, when we think, oh, Allah is not watching, he's alright, you know, I miss my salah, I be a Muslim on a Friday, I'm a Muslim in Ramadan, but then I can do what I like all year round, I watch TV, I listen to music, I watch the dramas, so what, I need to chill, man, what's going on? Then Allah says, okay, fine, carry on. Allah mocks at them and gives them increase. So Allah lets go of the leash, you know, like a dog in a park. The owner lets go for a bit to let them wander away. Then Allah Ta'ala says to let them wander blindly. These are they who have purchased error for guidance. Instead of coming for the Quran to be guided, they bought something else. They felt the job or the education or the shop or whatever they were doing was more valuable to them, more worthy than the Quran, the guidance from the Quran. And yet they call themselves Muslims. We have names like Aisha and Zainab and Fatima, but we don't come for the guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing in black and white in verse 16. These are they who have purchased error for guidance. So their commerce, what's commerce? Trade, business, good, was profitless and they were not guided. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 17 is giving us an example. Their lightness is as the lightness of one who kindled a fire. Then when it lighted all around him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their light and left them in darkness, so they could not see. They are deaf, dumb and blind, so they turn not to the right path. Highlight verse 18 please, because verse 18 is telling us how they behave. So outwardly they might be listening, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, nah. They might be looking at the universe and the signs all around, but nah. They are deaf, dumb and blind, so they turn not to the right path. Or like a rainstorm from the sky, wherein is darkness, thunder and lightning. They thrust their fingers, they put their fingers in their ears to keep out the stunning thunderclap for fear of death. But Allah ever encompasses the disbelievers. The lightning almost snatches away their sight whenever it flashes for them. They walk in it and when darkness covers them, they stand still. And if Allah willed, He could have taken away their hearing and their sight. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Highlight that end part. End of verse 20. Allah has power over all things. If you acknowledge this for today, would you be worried about your cooking tonight? Would you be worried about anything? Would you be worried about your sustenance, your rizq? Sisters, Allah has power over all things. Try your best and leave the rest to Allah. Now for all mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this message to all of us. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those who were before you so that you may become muttaqun, the pious. Immediately addressing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all mankind. Not just a few, not just the believers. Not just the believers, not just the Muslims, but everybody. Worship your Lord. First command we see. First command. Alhamdulillah is to worship. And you're worshipping here today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. Ameen. Who has made the earth a resting place for you, and the sky as a canopy, and sent down water from the sky, and brought forth with it fruits as a provision for you? Then do not set up rivals unto Allah in worship, while you know that He alone has the right to be worshipped. Sisters, when I read this, prior to being with Nur al-Quran, as a student of the Quran, I used to read this with the light that this doesn't apply to me. Do not set up rivals with Allah. That is the people who worship idols in the temple. But any rival that takes you away from Allah's path is shirk. Okay? Anything is a rival that takes you away. It could be your bed, could be your sleep, could be your excessive eating at Maghrib, that you've missed Maghrib Salah. Allah Ta'ala is telling us to worship, and then takes us onto this. Do not set up rivals. Our personal desires, that in the winter we've gone shopping galore. Sometimes people say window shopping or time to kill. A Muslim doesn't have time to kill. A Mu'min doesn't have time to kill. Do not set up rivals to Allah. And that could be anything. What we're going to do this Ramadan is look at my own errors. Where are my rivals? When do I let my salah slip away from me? And why? From my sleep, because I went to bed late, excessive tiredness, so I missed Fajr. Why? Because I'm not aware that He is Maliki Yawmi Deen. Because I'm not aware of the things that He's going to tell me in the Quran that will happen to me on that day. Let's continue. And if you are in doubt concerning that which we have sent to you, our slave Muhammad, then produce a surah of the like of it and call your witnesses. And besides Allah, if you are truthful. And call your witnesses and besides Allah if you are truthful. But if you do it not, and you can never do it, then fear the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, fear the fire whose fuel is men and stones prepared for the disbelievers. So the reason why you can have shirk and you can set up rivals is because you didn't acknowledge the fire of hell. So this fire was prepared for the disbelievers. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us again and again that don't do anything out of line. Because He wants us as believers and abiding citizens, abiding believers, people who are listening to His laws, He wants to give us gift tidings, give glad tidings. Verse 25, and give glad tidings to those who believe and do righteous good deeds, that for them will be gardens under which rivers flow. Every time they will be provided with a fruit from it. They will say, this is what we were provided with before. And they will be given things in resemblance. And in the same form, but different in taste. Why do you think Allah Ta'ala is telling us here that they will be given things in resemblance? When something's comfortable with you, when you feel that you can recognize something, it's in resemblance. What do? You go for it. Yes? I gave you a box of sweets here before to take a sweet. If I gave you a box of nuts, purple in color, would you take them as readily as you took the sweets? But you recognized the sweets. You knew what they were. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in front of us in Jannah purple apples or green. Well, there's a lot of green fruit. But green oranges are there, sorry, bad example. But sisters, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us turquoise oranges, we wouldn't understand what they were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that this is the story, the result for those who behaved, who believed. This is what we were provided with before, is what they will say, and they will be given things in resemblance in the form, but with different taste. And they shall have in it azwaj mutahhara, purified wives and mates. They will abide in it forever. What's abide? Live in it forever. Verily Allah is not ashamed to set forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ashamed to set forth a parable. Again, in the light of seerah, there was an incident that took place in reference to this verse 26. Surah Hajj, last verse was revealed, and they mocked the mushrikeen. The polytheists of Mecca, the mushrikeen, mocked at the verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no example, because there was an example of a fly used. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that He's not ashamed to set forth a parable, even of a mosquito, or so much more when it is bigger or less, when it is smaller than it. And as for those who believe, they know that it is the truth from their Lord. But as for those who disbelieve, they say, what did Allah intend by this parable? By it He misleads many, and many He guides thereby. And He misleads thereby only those who are the fasiqun, the rebellious, disobedient to Allah. Since we've opened the Quran like this, we have become guided, alhamdulillah. But when somebody doesn't want to open the Quran, they become misguided. They find it hard and they become rebellious to the ayahs. We see Muslims today who are rebelling against zakah, interest, beards, hijabs, because of Islamophobia. They don't like to tackle these subjects. But the same Quran is guiding the true believers. They're not finding it hard. And yet, those who are away from it, because of this, why? He misleads only those who are, highlight this part. He misleads only those who are the rebellious. Those who break Allah's covenant after ratifying it. And sever what Allah has ordered to be joined. And do mischief on earth, it is they who are the losers. How can you disbelieve in Allah, subhanAllah? Allah Ta'ala is asking a rhetorical question here. How can you? Just like a mom asks a child, how can you do this? How could you disgrace me in front of my friend? How could you be so naughty at school and be in trouble from your teacher with a detention? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, how can you disbelieve in Allah, seeing that you were dead and He gave you life? Then He will give you death. Then again will bring you to life. He it is who created you, for you all that is on the earth, subhanAllah. He gave us everything in the dunya, didn't He? Then He rose over towards the heaven and made them seven heavens. And He is the all-knower of everything, subhanAllah. Sisters, this brings us to the end of the first part of this surah. He's created everything for all of us. But if somebody gave you even a tiny thing, they'd expect you to be grateful, wouldn't they? When you give something to your loved one, you expect some sort of appreciation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a purpose to live this dunya, to live this life, not just to wander blindly. So He wants some return. So think about it. Reflect in yourself. Self-analysis. What am I returning? Am I even abiding by what Allah has commanded of me? What am I returning to Him? Or am I just living merrily as tomorrow you will die? Think. The next part from verse 30 onwards to 38 is the story of the first man, Adam a.s. And remember when your Lord said to the angels, verily I am going to place mankind generations after generations on earth. They said, will you place therein those who will make mischief therein and shed blood, while we glorify you with praises and thanks and sanctify you? He said, I know that which you do not know. And he taught Adam all the names of everything. Then he showed them to the angels and said, tell me the names of those if you are truthful. This shows us the importance of education in Islam, in our world, in our being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam all the names. The angel said, glory be to you. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Verily, it is you, the all-knower, the all-wise. He said, O Adam, inform them of their names. And when he had informed them, he said, did I not tell you that I know the ghaib, the unseen, and the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you have been concealing? And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam. And they prostrated, accepted leave. He refused and was proud and was one of the disbelievers, disobedient to Allah. And we said, O Adam, dwell, you live, you and your wife in the paradise, and eat both of you freely, freely with pleasure and delight of things in it and wherever you will. But come not near this tree or you both will be of the wrongdoers. Then the shaitan made them slip from the paradise and got them out of that in which they were. He said, get you down all with enmity between yourselves. On earth will be a dwelling place for you and an enjoyment for a time. Then Adam received from his Lord words, and his Lord pardoned him, accepted his repentance. Verily, he is the one who forgives. He is the one who forgives, accepts repentance, the most merciful. Subhanallah. We said, get down all of you from this place, the paradise. Then whenever there comes to you guidance from me and whoever follows my guidance, there shall be no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. When we've only got to 38 verses of the Quran, and already you feel that he's taking care of everything. He is in control of everything. He is the Malik Yawmiddin, and you are guided with the Quran. So will you have any grief? Will you have any fear? Would you be scared? No. What does a mu'min have? What does a believer have instead? What does a contentment? Good. What else? What does a believer have? Trust in Allah. Has tranquility and sukoon. Sakin. Peace. Okay? Subhanallah. They don't grieve. And that brings us to the end of the story of Adam alayhi salam. Sisters, three tests of the angels. They said, why are you making man? They questioned him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look, you know, don't know what I know. And they passed the exam. Then the test to Adam alayhi salam. He failed. He didn't obey, but then he repented. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted and overlooked his mistake and said, okay, go to the dunya for a bit, for a short time, but you will return to Jannah. But then the worst example, the worst test was of Shaitan. He's given an instruction as well to prostrate to the first man, but he is arrogant. He is full of pride and he fails to the degree that he is out of there forever. Question arises, how many times am I arrogant to do sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Shaitan missed one sajda, one sujood. How many sujood have I missed or do I miss repeatedly? Food for thought, we will pause there inshallah. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim.